Come along and explore and discover San Diego's Little Italy Mercado and the city's farmers market culture with Journeys of Discovery associate producer Elaine Masters and Mercado founder Kat White. They talk about how the weekly market has grown into a destination in itself and the demands of running a growing series of fresh local food marketplaces.
I'm Elaine Masters, and I am sitting with Kat White. You started the Little Italy Mercado kind of on a dare, and it's really taken off. It is one of the top 10 things that people want to do when they come to the city now. So what was that dare, and how did that get developed?
Well, you know, I lived in Little Italy, which is the most amazing neighborhood, and I could do anything I wanted there without getting in my car except shop for groceries. It was daunting. So the Little Italy Mercado, which is the largest farmers market in San Diego County and is also grown into a real destination kind of thing for tourists and in addition to local residents that need food. It was really started as a self-serving thing. I just needed to get groceries in my neighborhood. So I had gone to the Little Italy Association, which is a terrific organization. They've done so much to redevelop an area that was kind of challenged for a period of time, and talked to them a little bit about a farmer's market. And then I was sort of stretching and said, maybe we'll just do a CSA drop that comes to my office. And they said, well, I don't think a farmer's market will work. We've had some volunteer groups try that before. I said, well, you know, I think I could make one work, but, you know, if you've tried before and you're not interested, that's okay. And they said, it wouldn't work. You couldn't do it. And I don't react to that well. Of course, if you're going to dare me, yes, I will do it. and did it. 4 months later, we opened. So it was a wonderful thing.
And it's been going strong for how long now?
We opened in June of 2008. So we're kind of up on our eighth year now.
It seems like such a good match, you know, San Diego, Southern California, it's so easy to grow things here. And you work with a lot of local growers, right?
We do. Almost all of our growers are local to San Diego. We have some that are local to the northern part of the state. We operate under California direct marketing laws, which actually made it legal 23 years ago for farmers to sell directly to consumers. That used to be illegal. That's kind of an amazing thing. So there's very specific laws allowing farmers to sell to consumers. At certified farmers markets, you can't resell produce. You can't go buy it from a produce warehouse and then sell it. You have to be growing it. And so we use producers from San Diego, Riverside, Los Angeles County, and also from Northern California. But most of ours are local.
I want to give people who haven't had a chance to visit the Mercado a sense of what it's like. Could you describe what that experience is? On a Saturday morning, you walk down into Little Italy. What do you see first?
Well, Little Italy's built on a bit of a slant that goes down to the bay. And while we started with a market that was 40 vendors and about a block and a half long, now it stretches over five city blocks. So if you come in from the east, you're walking towards the bay and you rise over the hill, and there the Mercado is spread out for five blocks in front of you. And we have our certified farmers on one side of the street, and on the other side of the street, we've got wonderful coffee roasters and bakers and people that make jam and all the other artisan food products that you need to fill your grocery bag for that day. We've got live music on three of those corners. We've got a little section at the top that's all handcrafted items the local artists make. That's important at the Mercado, more so than at some of our weekday markets where they're really grocery shopping focused. The Mercado gets not only local residents who need food, but we get a lot of visitors, cruise ship passengers that follow the chef over from the ship and want to do some shopping, so the non-food is a wonderful thing, too.
So it grew from 40 vendors. How big is this now?
We have between 200 and 215 tents on the street every Saturday now. So it's a lot of farmers. It's a lot of vendors.
A part of me is thinking you have to be an incredible entrepreneur to have developed this. Did you have a background in business or farming or growing things before?
Not farming and growing things. As a market manager, I'm not the grower. I'm the person that helps people learn how to sell things. And that I had a big background in, specifically in the food industry. You know, I had a career that started as a food reviewer and then as a restaurant consultant and as a marketing consultant that always ended up with only restaurants as clients. I was in a business that built restaurants and designed them. I was in another business that published a trade magazine for independent restaurants. So I've always been a bit of a serial entrepreneur, but it's always followed that same path having to do with food in some way.
You had mentioned that there are other markets that you're involved with.
Yeah, we actually operate three markets a week. Saturday is the Little Italy Mercado, and that pulls about 18,000 people a week now in terms of shoppers. That's an enormous event. We also run the Pacific Beach Tuesday Farmers Market and the North Park Thursday Farmers Market, which we're in the process of expanding now.
This is a lot for you to take on. You must have a good team working with you. How has that grown?
I have a terrific team. It started out with me and one part-time guy that used to help me at the markets. My daughters have filled in here and there as help. And at this point, we've got seven full-timers that work on these things all week long. We do a lot of marketing backup. We figure our job is to bring the shoppers to the farmers and the food artisans and let them take it from there. So we're constantly working to keep up on social media. We're mapping the market. We're going over applications from new vendors. And there's a lot of regulatory stuff to keep up with, in addition to bookkeeping and financials and all the things that any business person has to do.
I was wondering about those regulations. Have they changed since you started?
I don't think I propelled them, except in the sense that I am on the steering committee now for the California Alliance of Farmers Markets, and I've worked with the Small Farm Conference and done some other things in the food industry that hopefully ask some questions at the legislative level that nudge things in a certain way. But regulations in general have gotten tighter and tighter. Anytime you do anything in the public and anything to do with food, especially in California, there's an enormous feeling on the part of regulatory agencies and city and county and state governments that they want to make sure that they reduce liability for them and for those around them, and that they keep things safe, certainly. There's a lot of things about food safety that I personally think are maybe more stringent than they need to be in some areas all over America. Nonetheless, they're doing their best to keep people safe, and it means that there's a lot of rules for us to comply with.
You must have been inspired by other farmers markets that you've seen, since we're kind of a travel show. Have you seen markets in other places in the world that you've tried to bring some of that flavor to San Diego?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been a market junkie since the first time I ever ran into one. I'd like to say I was born in the shadow of Pike's Place in Seattle, which I was, although we went there more to get fish and chips and things when I was a kid than we did vegetables. Just my mom was the original what are you making for dinner reservations kind of gal. So it didn't come from a real strong cook at home kind of background. But I've always loved the bustle of markets and the fresh food and the piles of produce and the fish. So wherever I go, I've sought out markets. I got real accustomed to attending the Cuesa Farmers Market in San Francisco, which is now at the Ferry Building. Used to be in a little grass lot across the street from where the Ferry Building is now before they pulled down the aqueduct. The back Ballard Farmers Market near Seattle is a terrific market. So is the one in the University District. All over America, I've hit farmers markets when I've traveled. But what I really was working on bringing home to Little Italy was the markets I've encountered in Europe. You know, in Paris and in most of France, they're legally mandated to have a market on every day for each neighborhood in each village, and in the smaller villages, they're mandated to have a market once a week. That is how people buy groceries. And there you see fabulous displays of seafood that just go on for yards and yards, and a lot of meat, and they're rotisserieing chickens and ducks and quail, and a lot of protein, incredible cheesemongers, of course. That wasn't something we really saw at farmers markets when I started the Little Italy market, at least not in San Diego. There were some other markets, some of the older great markets in town, Vista, Hillcrest, that had been around for a long time. But the only protein you really saw there was one guy that used to sell cryovac hard frozen fish fillets. There was no meat, there weren't eggs, there wasn't cheese. And that was a really goal of mine when I started the Little Italy market, is that we'd see more of that, that you'd be able to get your proteins there as well as the fruits and vegetables. So I really hunted out some ranchers up in Rainbow and Temecula and the northern part of the county, and they were very skeptical that people in the city would buy fresh meat and eggs and cheese and poultry, but sure enough they did. And we got urchin divers to come into the market and sell sea urchins, and then we were able to convince one of the local seafood purveyors to bring fish to the market, and that's now become an element that's sort of a signature of all of our markets.
You were able to fulfill that initial desire to have a great place to shop where you could get just about anything you needed to make dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's still our goal, actually, as we review new vendors. Anytime we get new applications, and at this point, we've matured to the fact that we're a really well-known market organization, so we get applications every day that we're evaluating. And always what we're looking for is, how does this make the market more balanced? It's very much a thing where we're curating the markets and making sure that you can get everything you need without going to a grocery store. And so we're always evaluating, what are the few things that our market staff has to go to Ralph's or Trader Joe's for? Let's see if we can find a vendor or foster a vendor or train somebody into that spot.
You're listening to the NPR podcast, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer. Associate producer Elaine Masters is talking with Kat White, San Diego's Little Italy Mercado Farmers Market.
Do you have anything to do with training vendors and bringing them along?
Yeah, actually, I started a class called Vendor 101 back in 2010. Got tired of answering exactly the same questions all day, every day from prospective vendors. How do I get into markets? There are a lot of regulatory issues, so the vendors and the farmers are required to hold a lot of different permits, and it's a bit of a confusing web to get going. So we started this class figuring, get everybody in one room for, it takes about 5 hours. We cover all aspects of business formation, lightly, of course. I'm not a lawyer and don't even play one on TV, but business formation, the permits required, what kind of equipment you'll need, how to determine inventory and pricing, what sort of labels are legal, and then a little bit into how to use social media or a website or print to market your own business in addition to the marketing that we do for the vendors. And that's really turned out to be just one of my favorite parts of the job is the people that I see every month that are so excited about their product, don't know how to get started. They leave the class with a pretty good idea. And then once they've got those basics, we work with them from there to really develop their businesses.
Could you talk about any specific success stories you've had with those vendors?
Yeah, Panache Pantry actually is a terrific vendor. Sort of an obscure category. She does spiced breadcrumbs. So instead of getting those breadcrumbs in a can to coat your fish or your chicken before you put it in the oven, you get Panache Pantry breadcrumbs that come from wonderful bread, sea bread as ingredients and fresh herbs from the farmers, and they come in great packaging. She's actually expanded to where she's also selling at West Elm now and at Jimbo's and at Williams-Sonoma, so it's been fun to see her progress. The Ceviche House that just opened up here in the North Park neighborhood, they started out as a Vendor 101 attendee that went on to be in three of our markets and now has opened their own little restaurant. That's an adorable Brazilian couple, so cute. We've got some folks now that are just really spreading their wings. They started with one craft sriracha product, handmade, and now they've got four varieties and they're pairing with local breweries to come up with new recipes for new sauces. Another just really enthusiastic couple that started at Vendor 101. So it's really fun to see people start with an idea and turn out to have exciting products that are picked up by national magazines.
Wow, if you're not a foodie before you heard this interview, you are now. Just those ingredients and those products sound so delicious and unique. So This is something you've probably seen develop in terms of public taste, too. People are asking for these kind of products.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you've tasted really fresh product, you're not going to go back. My grandson was on a road trip recently, and he's six, and happened to stop at a friend's house that had just come home, and were unloading bags from Costco, and handed him an apple, and he, poor little guy, he actually took a bite and spit it out and said, "What is that? That doesn't taste like an apple." Because he's only ever eaten fresh from the farmers. And it's really not the same taste as what you get in a grocery store where the goal is to find a fruit or vegetable that is standard sized and that ships well, not necessarily to find the one that tastes the best. So yeah, there's a huge growing awareness, and I love seeing the little ones grow up on fresh tasting food so that they know the difference because they'll demand that now.
So I'm getting this picture of you as kind of the mother hen.
Absolutely. It's so fun to see little ones seeking out their favorite color of carrots and appalled to think that a carrot might be a little nub. Obviously, a carrot's a big, bright orange or deep burgundy-colored, long thing that has fluffy leaves on it. That's not those little package things that you find in the grocery store. Or to see a young adult come through and take their first slurp of a sea urchin, the faces that we get are just amazing. You know, that's a mouthful of ocean there. And if you've never tasted it fresh, you haven't really tasted it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's one of my favorite things for sure. And we're so lucky here in San Diego because there's some of the best sea urchins in the world. And it is an acquired taste sometimes. It's very specific.
It is, and people either absolutely love it or sometimes not so much, but it's good to see them give it a try. It's funny when we talk about the year-round growing season in San Diego, the one thing that we don't see much of at markets here that I see no matter where else I travel in America or outside is jams and preserves and pickles. We see very few vendors that come in to make those, and I think it's because growing up with the year-round growing season here, we're not trained to preserve food. We don't have to. We know we can always get fresh food next week. But there's still a wonderful thing about using fruits and vegetables at the height of their season to make pickles or relishes, something that you can eat all year long. So we're trying to encourage people to learn a little bit more about that, too.
I think that's happening with kombucha and the craft beers that are being developed out of all kinds of herbal new arrangements and properties. You've talked about all the good stuff. What have been some of the biggest challenges in developing this over the years?
Regulatory agencies certainly provide challenges sometimes. There's the amount of permitting and the expense involved with permitting and insurance and things for these little micro entrepreneurs is tough. On the California Department of Food and Agriculture side, new legislation has come down actually just in the last year or so that transfers a lot of responsibility, not transfers it, but duplicates a lot of the responsibility that the producers have onto the farmers market manager. So our team really needs to know what they're looking for when they're looking at what farmers are bringing to market. We have to make some assumptions that it's tough for us to actually know about what they're bringing and where it's coming from, because there's a lot of liability on our end if somebody sneaks in that's reselling produce. That's all for a worthy end. The idea is to make sure that it's producers that are selling their food, but some of the way those regulations are set up makes it really tough on farmers and on market managers now.
For the future, are you just going to keep growing? You cover several blocks in the city right now in the Mercado and your other venues too. What's coming up?
The Mercado has gotten to the size that it could maybe handle another block or so, but we're pretty much landlocked. We either fall into the bay or we spread onto the freeway, so there's not much farther for us to go. So it probably won't get much bigger. We have a new North Park Thursday market that's starting that will incorporate our existing North Park farmers and vendors, and that one does have room to grow. We'll probably start at two blocks and hopefully spread to three, so that's coming up. Our Pacific Beach market has a little bit of room to grow. I get approached a lot about starting additional markets, but there are now 55 markets in San Diego County on a weekly basis. That's terrific. It would be wonderful if there was one in every neighborhood or if there was one on every corner the way Starbucks is. But the trick to that is that there are a finite amount of farmers in San Diego County, and land is very expensive here. It's tough for a farmer to make a living. And so while we're encouraging young people to go into that, there's still a big gap between the average age of farmers, 60-something now, and the new crop of young farmers that's growing. We can't stretch them too far. They've got to spend some time on the farm, so asking them to be at a market four or five times a week is tough on them. So I'm probably personally not going to be doing any more markets. Never say never. Certainly that could happen. But my concentration for now is really on expanding our educational offerings, digging in and helping farmers and artisan food producers to remember that profit has to go along with their passion if their businesses are going to be sustainable. So we're trying to make sure that they get those business basics, that they don't underprice what they've worked so hard to create, that they learn a little bit about marketing so they can keep those customers coming back. So that's really the concentration now. I'm going to try and spread some of our classes into online classes so they can be more easily accessible no matter what day somebody's available. And I'm working on a book, isn't everybody? A little bit of the behind the scenes insights that you get from working in farmers markets, both on entrepreneurism and small startups and on food politics, which is going to be important to all of us and to all of our children and grandchildren as the world keeps moving forward.
Yes, and you have a chance to spend time with those grandchildren too, somewhere in some free time, which I can't imagine with everything else that you're doing that you have.
We have some. My theory has always been work hard, play hard. So I put in a lot of hours when I'm working, but I try to take little chunks of time. We take each grandchild to Europe when he turns 12 or she turns 12, and we haul them through markets no matter where they go. We do some road trips, and I try to grab one of the little kids and take them with me when I travel, if at all possible, so they get a chance to see different parts of the country and different parts of the world. It's so healthy to grow up seeing other people's perspectives. And we get together to cook and to eat and to play and to run and to bike. So yeah, beautiful weather, amazing kids. We've got 9 grandchildren now. It's really a priority to make sure that we carve out some time, even among all the work, to spend time with them.
Well, when your passion is your job, mm-hmm. It sounds like that's a good life.
It is a good life, yeah. It's not like going to work. We just do what we do because that's what you do. It's fun. I can't imagine not working in the area that I do.
San Diego is very blessed that we've got this passion going for us and that we can share it, because I know I love nothing more than to spend a Saturday morning strolling around Little Italy in San Diego. And as soon as I see the white awnings, little table toppers, I know that I've come to the right place. And I just pull up and get a chance to explore and relax in this beautiful area. So thank you for furnishing that for all of us.
You're welcome.
I have been speaking with Kat White of the Mercado in Little Italy here in San Diego and in soon to be North Park.
North Park, Pacific Beach, San Diego Markets is where we are online, so sandiegomarkets.com. And we're always happy to lend a hand to new startup markets as well, and certainly to new farmers and vendors that want to get their product to the street.
The new vendors can check out Vendor 101.
That's vendor-101.com, offered regularly, and again, hoping to get that online so we can get it out to even more people.
Thank you so much for your time, Kat.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Associate Producer Elaine Masters interview Kat White, the founder of San Diego's Little Italy Mercado Farmers Market. Elaine Masters is an award-winning author, travel writer, and producer. To learn more about Elaine, log on to tripwellgal.com.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning.
Blowing corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and love begin all over.